PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
It's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading.
It seems like trains are always in motion. But every once in a while, even a train has to stop and cool its wheels. So, they come to a place like this, the Los Angeles Train Yard. This is where trains come to be fixed up, cleaned up, and tuned up, and then they can hit the rails again. It's a busy place, and it can be a dangerous one, too. That's why I'm wearing this hard hat and these goggles. Rosie Ellis, she's a railroad engineer, the person who actually drives the train. Come on down, Rosie.
Hi.
Hiya, Rosie.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Even that horn is loud.
I like to blow that horn.
You do, huh?
Yeah, plug your ears.
So this is a railroad engine.
This is a locomotive.
Locomotive, ooh, I like that word.
I do too. Powerful, massive. From here on back, that's an engine.
Really? This whole thing is an engine?
Sure is.
Very impressive.
3,000 horsepower worth of engine.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at these wheels.
They're great. They're sporting 250,000 pounds.
This train weighs 250,000 pounds,
sure does.
This engine?
Sure does.
Unbelievable. Now, I'm noticing here that these wheels, Rosie, are steel. And the track is steel, and that seems like it would just slip off.
No. If you look back there in the back, you see that little lip back there?
Uh-huh.
That's what we call a flange.
Uh-huh.
That holds the wheels against the rail.
Oh, I see. So that little flap keeps the wheels from falling off the track this way, and the one on the other wheel keeps it from going off on the other
side. And it just guides you along.
I see. Now, what's this big black thing down here?
Oh, the big black thing down here, that's your fuel tank.
Aha. What kind of fuel do you use on
these?
Diesel. How much does this tank hold?
1,800 gallons.
Wow.
One tank.
Now, what I want to see is where the locomotive actually hooks up to other cars.
Okay, that's around and back.
Okay.
Let's go check it out. This is it, LeVar. This is the knuckle.
The knuckle, huh?
Yeah, each car has one. That's how we connect them together. The trains are shoved together, and they go together like that.
So it's just a matter of it grabbing on and holding.
Right.
Just like knuckles on our hands.
Just like knuckles on a hand.
Now, do you connect anything else?
Yeah, we do. There's power cables. They're just like big plugs.
Wow.
And they plug in, and the power goes all the way through the train.
Uh-huh.
And now, you want to see what I do?
Yeah.
All right, let's go see the cab.
The cab, that's where the driver's seat is, right?
Right. Hey, LeVar, why don't you go ahead and go on up?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is it.
Wow. Well, I see the driver's seat, but where's the steering wheel, Rosie?
No steering wheel, LeVar. Remember we started out with the wheels?
Uh-huh.
We go where the track takes us.
So you don't need to steer?
Don't need to steer. Got brakes, got throttle. That's what controls the train.
So this will slow it down, and that makes it go fast,
right?
Huh?
You got from 1 to 8. The bigger the number, the faster you go.
And how can you tell how fast you're going?
Got a speedometer up here.
Ah. What's your average speed?
70 miles an hour.
About as fast as a car goes.
Yeah.
So, Rosie, when we take the Coast Starlight today, you're going to be driving, aren't you?
No, I'm going to be operating.
Operating.
All right.
I
no
stand
driving.
Corrected. Okay, that's right. So what's the route you're going to operate on?
Let me show you. We're going to start in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go all the way up the coastline. We'll see the Pacific Ocean.
Right next to the Pacific Ocean.
Absolutely. All the way to Seattle, Washington.
And how long will that take us?
About 2 days.
Oh. Are you going the whole way?
No way.
Neither am I.
No, I get off.
I am going to spend the night, though, on the train.
All right.
Yeah.
That'll be fun for you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. How about taking a ride?
Can we go a little bit up the track here now?
Sure we can.
I'd love to.
Okay, I'll operate. You blow the whistle.
That's the whistle right there?
That's it. Let's go.
Before we can start our trip, the locomotive has to hook on to the rest of the cars. Then, Rosie brings the whole train to the station to pick up the passengers. The station platform is buzzing with activity. While the passengers get on board, the train is loaded with baggage, mail, and supplies for the trip. Finally, there's just enough time for me to wave a quick goodbye to Rosie and the locomotive, and I jump onto my car.
Aboard!
That's us. Here we go.
Usually, you take the train to get to a particular destination, but today, I'm riding just for the fun of it. I'll go up the coast a bit, sleep on the train, then turn around and catch the first train home again.
Well, we're on our way. This is great. I love starting a new trip, especially by train. First, I have to find the perfect seat. This one. And check the view.
Tickets, please.
Oh, here it is, right there.
Have a great trip.
Thank you very much. You too. You know, on a long train ride like this, I have plenty of time to read, so I always pack a fast-moving, spine-tingling, hair-raising cliffhanger to get the trip started. Here's one that's a true story about a train in trouble called Kate Shelley and the Midnight Express.
Kate Shelley and the Midnight Express by Margaret K. Wetterer. Illustrations by Karen Ritz. Read by Brian Dennehy. A terrible storm was coming. 15-year-old Kate Shelley could feel it in the air. A cold wind rose. Black clouds rolled in, and the sky grew dark. Kate stood at the kitchen window with her younger sisters and brother. They saw lightning flash. They heard thunder crack in the hills. And then the rain came. When lightning flashed, Kate peered through the rain, trying to see the railroad bridge over Honey Creek. How is it holding up in this storm? Kate sat with her mother and sister at the kitchen table, talking about the dangers of the storm. At midnight, an express train would pass the Mongona train station without stopping. It would cross the long bridge over the Des Moines River, and then it would cross the bridge over Honey Creek near Kate's house. Shortly after 11 o'clock, Kate heard railroad men checking the bridges before the express came through. Suddenly, the engine's bell rang wildly. And Kate heard a terrible crack. The bridge had broken. Oh, mother, she cried. They've gone down in Honey Creek. I must go help, and I have to stop the Midnight Express. The rain beat down on Kate as she followed a path to the bridge. She looked out over the dark waters of Honey Creek. She could not see the engine or any of the crew. Had they all drowned? Then Kate heard a shout.
Help!
She saw two men holding onto branches just above the water.
Save us!
Hang on, Kate shouted. I'll get help. She swung the lantern back and forth so the men would know she was going for help. Kate began to run. There wasn't much time. She had to get to the Mongonas station before midnight, before the express. Suddenly, a fierce wind blew out the lantern's flame. She stared into the darkness. To reach the Mongonas station, she had to cross the Des Moines River Bridge. Beside the tracks was a narrow walkway. Some of its boards were missing. There was no handrail to hold. Kate was afraid to cross this bridge even in daylight. Could she do it now, in this storm, in the dark? Kate thought of the men in Honey Creek and all the people on the train. She got down on her hands and knees and began to crawl across. Nails and splinters cut her hands and knees and tore her skirt. She gripped the steel rail of the tracks to keep the wind from sweeping her over the side. Trees and logs in the flooded river crashed against the bridge, making it shake. Great flashes of lightning lit the storm-tossed night. Kate was shaking with fear, but she could not stop to rest. She had to reach the station before midnight. At last, Kate's hand touched land. She got to her feet and began to run. Through the rain, she saw the lights of Mongonas Station. Kate threw open the door. The men inside turned and stared. Kate gasped. The engine went down in Honey Creek. Stop the express. She means a bridge is out, the station agent said. We must stop the express. He rushed to the telegraph and tapped out a message. Stop express. Bridge out. Stop express. In Ogden, the train men heard the message and stopped the speeding train in time. Wait, Kate said. Two men are still alive in Honey Creek. I'll show you where they are. Kate rode the engine with the rescue party. They crossed the Des Moines River on the same bridge Kate had crawled over. The engine stopped at the broken bridge on Honey Creek. Everyone shouted.
There they are.
Hang on!
And the men in the water answered.
We're over here!
They were still hanging on.
Help! Save us!
At last, the two exhausted men were rescued from Honey Creek. Kate Shelley had saved their lives and the lives of everyone on the Midnight Express.
That Kate was a real hero. She won medals for her bravery, and they even named a bridge after her. Well, since those days, safety and communication have improved a lot on the railroad, and I feel especially safe knowing that there are engineers like Rosie who are in charge.
I love being an engineer. It's been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. When I was a kid, I grew up next to a railroad track. I was small, real small. And I started watching the trains come by and always thought that'd be a fun thing to do. Now, I didn't know if girls could do that or not, but I always hoped they could. every time I come to a crossing, I blow the whistle, just in case there might be something approaching. It's a warning for anybody getting close to the railroad. Stopping a train's not like stopping a car. You have to put on the brakes, and it takes almost a mile sometimes to stop. Depends on your speed. If you're going fast, it takes a little longer. That's why nobody, but nobody, should play on the railroad tracks. I love running the Coast Starlight right along the ocean. It's a short run, but it's one that I enjoy the most. Being an engineer is real fun. It's great fun. I know if I'm having a good time up here, the people behind me have got to be having a good time back there.
Trains have been crisscrossing the country for over 100 years. They're one of our earliest modes of travel. Trains have been around longer than planes and even longer than cars.
The first locomotives were pretty funny looking, and they didn't go very fast. In fact, in 1830, an early steam train, the Tom Thumb, had a race with a horse-drawn train, and the horse won. But before long, steam-powered trains became the fastest and most popular form of transportation, carrying people and freight for a growing nation. But settlers couldn't travel west by train because the only tracks across the country were those left by horse-drawn wagons. The nation needed a coast-to-coast railroad.
They started in the east, laying down the rails, and out in California they were blazing out a trail. Toward the center they did strive, no one knew when they would arrive, building the Transcontinental Railroad. They cleared the way and blasted through the mountainside and built big trestle bridges stretching over valleys wide. And it's a fact they laid more than 3,000 miles of track to build the Transcontinental Railroad. It took 6 years, and in the spring of 1869, in Promontory, Utah, they connected the two lines. And across this growing nation, folks joined in the celebration of the Transcontinental Railroad. And across this growing nation, folks joined in the celebration of the Transcontinental Railroad.
From that day on, train travel really took off. Locomotives got faster and more powerful as the railway system grew. Steam-powered trains were a real success. But even the newer, streamlined versions were dirty, because they burned coal. Diesel and electric trains helped. They were cleaner and faster.
All aboard!
Every major city had a great train station. Cars were made more comfortable for passengers. Not only could you eat on the train, you could get a manicure or a haircut. You could even watch a movie. Today, some people like to fly or drive, but trains are busy moving cargo, from cars and trucks to passengers like you and me.
Today, trains are still carrying people across the country. They're like rolling hotels. They even have bedrooms. Now, if I can just find mine. This isn't my compartment, but what a view!
Thank you. Very good.
This is the observation car. Beautiful, huh? But it's still not my sleeping compartment. Well, no beds here. Well, this certainly isn't my compartment. This is a restaurant on rails. Finally, my bedroom. Home, sweet home. Boy, look at this place. This is great. It's like a mini hotel in here. You've got a little sink. Hot and cold running water. You can wash your hands and face on the train. Little bitty soaps. Little cups. This is terrific. Sink light. Shower light. There's a shower in here. Where? Oh boy, the shower's in the toilet. That's amazing. Boy. Hey, I wonder where my bed is. Ah, I've heard of these. Yes! At last, you know, there's nothing like a good night's sleep on board a train. Listen. I love the rhythm of the rails, the motion of the train. It makes me kind of sleepy, but I'm never too tired to squeeze in a good bedtime story. So, here are three that'll keep you on the right track. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Have you ever taken a long train trip without your parents? Well, the two sisters in this book did that very thing. It's called The Train to Lulu's. Beppy and Babs are going to spend the summer with their great aunt Lulu in Baltimore. But they live in Boston. That's 9 hours away. So they're gonna take the train. At first, the train ride is really pretty neat. They're going fast over bridges and across rivers, with trees whizzing by the windows. But Babs is always complaining about being hungry. Beppy explains that a train ride takes a while, but getting there is half the fun. I'm Diane Hagen, and someday I'm gonna go on a train ride. I'm gonna have dinner there and even sleep there. But in the meantime, I'm just gonna keep reading books like this one.
Hi, I'm Patricia Helton, and here's a book that's been around for a long time. In fact, my mom and dad read it when they were kids. It's called The Little Engine That Could. It's about a big train in trouble and a little engine that comes to help. The train is filled with toys and food for the children on the other side of the mountain. But the big train gets stuck. Other trains come by, but they don't stop. Finally, the little engine stops and comes to the rescue. She hooks herself up to the big train and tugs and pulls. And sure enough, she pulls the big train to the tippy top of the mountain. This is an easy book to read. I'm going to read it to my little sister, and then my whole family will know the story of the little engine that could.
Hi, I'm Michael Majors, and get ready to hop aboard the Polar Express, because we're going to take a trip to the North Pole. The trip begins the night of Christmas Eve. The boy is waiting for Santa and his reindeer. He's surprised to find a train outside his window. The conductor yells, "All aboard!" There are lots of other kids on the train. They travel far over big mountains. At last, they see the lights of the North Pole. Wait, I don't want to tell you the whole story. I want you to enjoy it yourself. So get the Polar Express.
Well, this is where we get off. You know, trains are so much fun to ride that you're almost sorry to get where you're going. But today, I'm lucky. I've got to go back home and guess how I'm going.
I'm taking the train. Better get my ticket. See you next time.
Laying down the rails, and out in California, they were blazing out a trail. Toward the center they did strive, no one knew when they would arrive. Built in the Transcontinental Railroad, they cleared the way and blasted through the mountainside, and built big trestle bridges stretching over valleys wide. And it's a fact they laid more than 3,000 miles of track to build the Transcontinental Railroad. Took 6 years, and in the spring of 1869, in promontory Utah, they connected the two lines. And across this growing nation, folks joined in the celebration of the Transcontinental Railroad. And across this growing nation, folks joined in the celebration of the Transcontinental Railroad.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Kate Shelley and the Midnight Express by Margaret K. Wetterer, illustrated by Karen Ritz, published by Carol Rhoda Books, Incorporated. The Train to Lulu's by Elizabeth Fitzgerald Howard, illustrated by Robert Casilla, published by Bradbury Press. The Little Engine That Could by Waddy Piper, illustrated by George and Doris Howman, published by Platt and Monk, a division of Grosset and Dunlap. The Polar Express by Chris Van Allsburg, published by Houghton Mifflin Company.